On March 15th, an LSU graduate student jumped from the roof of a six-story building and died. And it was ruled by the police to be suicide. This student's physics professor had the following comment about the student. "We've had quite a few interactions in the past 2 or 3 years. Raw, the professor said, he was a very good student, very interested in physics, and friendly person. Raw said, Charla, the student's name, his distress was confined to his marital problems, which Raw believed to be a divorce. His mother came in from India about 3 weeks ago because of what he was going through. Raw said, we knew he was in distress, but this was a complete surprise that he would commit suicide. More than 30,000 suicides are reported each year in the United States. According to the most recent numbers gathered in 2006 by the National Center for Health Statistics, suicide is the fourth leading cause of death in the United States for adults between the ages of 18 and 65 years. Statistics show someone dies by suicide every 16 minutes, and an attempt is made every minute. Has the thought of committing suicide ever crossed your mind, even for one split second? When you had a really bad day in school, when you were bullied, and you flunked your classes, or when you were dumped by your girlfriend or boyfriend, or when you were laid off, or when you were seriously ill. Subconsciously, we might also commit mental and spiritual suicide, if not physical, when we are feeling depressed. It's reflected in our lifestyle if we live a self-destructive life when we are depressed. For example, abusing in drugs, in alcohol, overdose, entertainment, neglecting the responsibilities of our life and our health, and living an unhealthy lifestyle, a self-destructive lifestyle, we might also be committing suicide. These are very health-heavy statistics, and it can influence us. As the English pastor of CCCDR, when I heard such news, I immediately prayed that this would never happen to any member of CCCDR. But how can we, besides passively hoping such things would not happen to us, also proactively prevent any member here from committing suicide in the future? We will look at Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 to 75, and chapter 27, verses 1 to 5, as we just read. You can open your Bible to this passage. It's also on the screen. Please go to the next slide. We will learn why both Peter and Judas had a similar experience side by side when Jesus was caught, when Jesus was being tortured, facing crucifixion. But Peter stayed alive. What happened to Judas? He committed suicide. That is the only suicide incident I could find in the whole New Testament. There are a few more in the Old Testament. And we will learn 3 ways to prevent suicide from ever happening to our lives in the future. There are 3 ways summarized by C-A-R. Car. Yes. C stands for confess our sins to God and restart. Confess our sins to God and restart. Matthew chapter 26, verse 69. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said, but he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again, with an oath this time, "I don't know this man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Peter messed up big time. He couldn't keep his promise to Jesus. He said that he would be willing to die for Jesus and he will never deny Jesus. But when the test came, by relying on his power, he could not fulfill his promise to Jesus. But he truly believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that he was willing to follow and obey God. He was willing. What did Peter do after he messed up? He went outside and he wept bitterly. He showed that he realized, he admitted, and he felt the sin against God when he messed up. Not only he realized his sin, but he also confessed his sin for God's forgiveness, and he was willing to accept God's forgiveness. That's why he did not just commit suicide. He realized that in Christ, in God, there is always a second chance. Even if you mess up big time, there is a second chance in God. But I believe, although he accepted God's forgiveness for his sins for 3 days, he completely lost the purpose, the hope and the motivation of his life, because the one he could follow was being tortured and then died on the cross in the most humiliating way and then was buried. He lost his directions, he lost the meaning of his life, he lost the purpose of his life, he had no more motivation, although he did not take his life away because he still believed in God. Have you played video games before? I've played video games before. What did you do when you messed up and the game is over? What did you do again? You threw the control to what? To the ground. Okay, just threw that way. Another reaction? Any other different regression besides doing that? Toby?
Restarted.
He's smart. He would just restart it. So I messed up, so what? It's not the end of the world. I just restart the game. See? That's what we can do when we mess up in a game. The game is over. So what? Even better. If you have a game card that can help you to save the game, while you are playing, continue to save. When you mess up, go back to the point that you did not mess up, and then start. That's how you can actually continue to play the game. Because the games are becoming harder and harder to play. You can learn your lesson and not repeat the same mistake. And then, do it again. I believe if Peter had a chance to play video games, he will be the kind of player he will mess up, restart, and play again. Instead of, there's another reaction I'll share with you later. So when we mess up, confess our sins to God and restart learn a lesson from it, and know that in God there is always second chance. God will never give up on you. So don't give up on God and don't give up on yourself. Even when you mess up, we mess up every day. Sometimes in very small matters, but sometimes you mess really big in your life. Just repent your sins to God and restart. So the first way to prevent suicide is C. Confess your sins to God, to ask for forgiveness and accept forgiveness, and then restart. The second way to prevent suicide is to ask for hope and don't give up. Ask for hope from God and don't give up. Let's continue with this passage. Now we are at 27, chapter 27, verse 1. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him to Pilate, the governor. Verse 3. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. He committed suicide. Now, Judas also messed up in a very similar way, maybe to a greater extent than Peter. But they did something similar to Jesus. Why do I say that Judas committed a similar sin but to a greater extent? He was the one who should take out money, and he was willing to take 30 coins to betray Jesus. So I see that he was greedy for money. He might also be greedy for power. And probably he was very impatient when he saw that Jesus was using the soft, peaceful methods with his enemies. And we learned last time how to deal with mean people in your life. To be gracious to them, to love them, to love your enemies. Judas could not take that. He probably was trying to force Jesus to use his supernatural powers to overthrow the Roman Empire and immediately establish Jesus' kingdom on earth at that time. But Jesus did not resist when he was caught. And he didn't use his superpowers to destroy his enemies. That caught Judas by surprise. And he realized that he did a foolish thing to put the one he had followed for 3 years, who was so good to him, he betrayed him. But unlike Peter, Judas never truly believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And he was not willing to follow and obey God. He had his own agenda in his mind when he was with Jesus. He never truly believed Jesus. And he was a very self-centered man. He was a very proud man. He messed up. But he was not willing to ask for forgiveness. And he was too proud to accept forgiveness from God. That's why he took his own life away. He thought he was the master of his own life. If my life belongs to me, it's my business whether I keep it or I take it away, right? But God is the master of our life. God created us. We belong to God. In the Ten Commandments, it's a sin to commit murder. Life that is so precious, created by God. Committing suicide is like committing murder to ourselves. The body that does not belong to us, but to God. Think about if Judas had a chance to play video games, what kind of player would he be? This time, Jeffrey. Yes, exactly. When Judas had a chance to play PlayStation 3, maybe, he would mess up, the game was over, and he would be very impatient to learn the lesson from it, and then he would immediately, as Jeffrey said, break the game, step on the game, and just destroy the game. I don't want to play it anymore. That was Judas' reaction when he messed up. I read enough about people committing suicide, analyzing why. I found out that most people committed suicide because they messed up in their lives, caused by their or other people's mistakes or sins. But if what they messed up in was their only hope, the only goal in their lives, they will feel that they have lost everything when they have messed up in what they think is the only thing that is important in their lives. That is gone, no more hope, no more meaning in life, and they do not believe in God, they don't think their life belongs to God, they say, I can't take it anymore, I just take my own life away. But these people first committed spiritual, because they are separate from God, and their mental suicide, they are so depressed in the mind first. And finally, it gets to a point that they will even take their physical life away through a physical suicide. They do not understand that they can always come to God and God can give them a second chance. So I see that sin-controlled and self-centered life promotes spiritual, mental suicide that will ultimately lead to physical suicide. Sin-controlled, self-centered. Is your life controlled by sin? Is your life self-centered, all about you, what you want to pursue in your life? Be very careful. Because when what you are pursuing for yourself only does not come true, your dream is shattered. You can be so depressed to the point that you think there's no second chance and you will just either self-destruct your life, self-destroy your life in a self-destructive way, or just take your life away. So to prevent suicide, I see that the second way is to ask God for hope and motivation at a time that we feel that there is no hope, that we feel so depressed, but God is the one who can provide you hope. Even without common sense, we see there is no hope, but God can rekindle that lost hope in your heart. If you believe, hang on, and don't give up. And there's yet a third way for us to prevent suicide besides the first two ways. What is the first way? Okay, what's the second way?
Ask for hope, don't give up.
Oh, unison. That's great. Now the third. And the third, I believe, is the best way, because not only will it prevent it, it will eliminate the possibility of suicide completely. That is to remain remain in resurrected Jesus' love and love Jesus. Peter did not commit suicide because he indeed believed in God. He asked for forgiveness and he received forgiveness. And he knew there was a second chance. But before Jesus' resurrection, he lost hope. He lost motivation. Let's see what happened after Jesus was resurrected, and he spoke to Peter, and that made a great difference in Peter's life. You can open your Bible to the book of John. John, chapter 21, verse 15. The Gospel of John, chapter 21, verse 15. Okay, if you don't have a Bible, it is on the back of the pew, the seat. Pick up one. And if you're not familiar with this passage, ask someone to help you to open your Bible to John, chapter 21, verse 15. Let me read it. John chapter 21, verse 15. When they had finished eating, the disciples, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Jesus was resurrected. Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, seemingly not to trust his first two answers. Do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. In the same book, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus taught that I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus was resurrected. On the third day after his crucifixion, he appeared to his disciples, including Peter. Peter had his master back again, whom he could follow, who could give him directions in night, the meaning of night. His master was back again. So he found his lost joy, hope, and purpose in night again. And he was willing once again to follow the resurrected Jesus closely and do what Jesus wanted him to do with Jesus' power in Jesus' way this time. So I see the best way not to mess up in video game is that, if you have a good relationship with the game master who designed and created the game, and he is playing the game with you side by side, he knows the best way to play a perfect game. More than that, he also has the game instruction manual. I have played very difficult games, strategic games, that without an instruction manual, it was impossible for me to continue on the game. But the game master also gives you a game instruction manual. Moreover, he also has given you a game instruction how to follow the instructions in the manual so that even when the game master is not around, you can read the manual with the instructor helping you to follow the instructions. And then we'll be sure that we'll have fun and that we'll not fail in the game and we'll not suffer from frustrations because now we know the game master. Now we have the game instruction manual and we have a game instructor with us to play the perfect game. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be more fun? So knife is knife the game. And Jesus is knife the game designer, the game creator, the game master. And the Bible is knife the game instruction manual. The Holy Spirit is night, the game instructor. Spirit-controlled, Christ-centered, Bible-based night results in spiritual, mental, and physical resurrection that is powerful, that is meaningful, that is purposeful. And that can be very fun when you are with Jesus. He will give you the joy to live your life. According to Romans chapter 6 verse 8, let me just read it. Romans chapter 6 verse 8. Now, if we die with Christ, how do we die with Christ? We will not completely die, physically die with Christ, but by believing in Christ's death for us and dying to our own sins. Turn away from our sins. Turn to Christ. We believe that we will also live with Him. If we have died with Christ, we will also be able to live with Him, to live a joyful, hopeful, powerful life. Verse 9. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Christ was resurrected. He was alive. He is alive. He will continue to be alive forever. He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. Verse 10, the death he died to sin once for all, for us, but the life he lives to God. The question is, are we willing to let resurrected Jesus help us to die to sin and to live to God? Are we willing? Jesus is resurrected. He is alive. He is there to want to help us to live a life that has died to sin and will live to God. If your answer is yes, then I can be sure you will not commit mental, spiritual, and physical suicide in the future. I think this is the best suicide prevention in the whole world, and this is also the best way to live. You don't want to just live under the fear of not wanting to commit suicide, but you want to have the power to live a life that is fulfilling. If you can master the key to live a fulfilling, powerful life through resurrected Jesus, there's no room for even thinking about committing suicide. How do we live a powerful, purposeful, meaningful, joyful life with resurrected Jesus? Have you thought about that? How do I do it in my life? What would that be like? Here are some principles that I have practiced myself and I found that very helpful to me. I found out that every day, although my eyes cannot see, by my faith, eyes can see that resurrected Jesus is there waiting for me every day to talk to Him. And He will talk to me. I talk to Him through prayers, not to dead air, but in my spirit, I will be communicating with God's Spirit, who is in my heart. The Holy Spirit is in my heart. When I pray to God, I do not just say a list of things that I want, but I also ask God questions. I share my frustrations with God, as if I'm sharing it with a best friend. I ask Him to help me, and then I wait quietly for Him to talk to me through the Bible and the Holy Spirit, and times I just wait quietly. And God has been faithful. He always helps me to remove my frustrations that might cause me to even think about suicide. So that's how we can live with our resurrected Jesus. But this should be your natural desire, not something that is forced onto you. Knowing that Jesus loves you, you want to very naturally follow, obey, and have a relationship with resurrected Jesus. So to prevent suicide, thirdly, we also need to do what? Remain in the love of resurrected Jesus and to love Jesus as well. Let's have a quick review and then I'll share with you my own story to close. So what does C stand for? A? How about this side? R? Resurrect Jesus and love Jesus. At the lowest point of my life, I thought about committing suicide frequently. When I broke up with my ex-girlfriend at that time, when I was studying in UC Berkeley, I hesitated in taking action to take my life away because I knew that would hurt my mom badly. She loves me so much. I knew what that would do to my mom. I couldn't kill myself because my mom loved me so much. But I had no motivation to live my life anymore because that was what I found to be something that could give me joy. Nothing else. Not following a bunch of rules, fulfilling other people's expectations for you, but love. But now that was shattered. I felt there was no more reason for me to live, and yet there's a reason for me to not die because of my mom. Finally, in my desperation, I thought about that. I heard people talking about Jesus. People said that Jesus loves us more than any person in this whole world. And that person, not only did I know about that, I agree that is true, but I was willing to try it because there was nothing else that could help me. I was desperate. I was hopeless. At that moment, I knelt down on my knees. First, I confessed my sins to God for living a self-centered and sinful life, to pursue my own dreams without God. That caused me so much pain and frustration. And then I asked God for strength, for hope, for motivation, and for the purpose of my life that was gone. Immediately after the prayer, I felt peace. I felt motivation. I felt hope, and that night is meaningful. I cannot explain to you how that happened, but that was real. Immediately that night, I could pick up my textbooks. After I not have gone to my classes for half a semester, I skipped my classes because I had no motivation to go to the classes. Exams are coming. I really did not want to fail in the classes, but I had no motivation even to study. But finally, that prayer, humble, sincere prayer to Jesus, made that difference, that gave me back the motivation, the hope, and the power to face the very challenges studying in a very so-called prestigious university. But I also learned that I should not just live my life by myself anymore. I decided to go to church. And there, I learned how to trust Jesus completely. And thirdly, I also learned how to remain in resurrected Jesus' love and to love Him. How do we love God? By obeying His commands according to 1 John. I've faced a lot of tough times even after I've become a believer of Jesus Christ, but even in those tough times, those difficult times, I never thought about committing suicide again. Because I knew I was not facing the difficulties by myself. Jesus Christ, who was resurrected, He is still alive today, tomorrow, forever, He is always there to help me if I'm only willing to go to Him to ask for help. It's that simple. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. Jesus is alive. Jesus lives today, tomorrow, and forever. And that's why we live. That's why we worship. That's why we celebrate. That's why we come together to have a relationship like family members with fellowship. And we also tell people about Jesus, because they are also living a life towards committing spiritual, mental, or even physical suicide without God, without Christ. That's right. Oh dear Heavenly Father, I want to pray for your mighty healing hands on the whole world, that people are lost because they have believed in a lie from this world that they can pursue what the world wants them to pursue, and they will be happy and they will be fulfilled. What happened was that they often became more disillusioned, more hopeless, more desperate. I know that even this minute that I'm speaking, someone is attempting a suicide. I just pray that by your power, these people who are attempting a suicide will not end up in death. Not only physical death, but also spiritual death. I pray that there will be people in these people's lives who will care enough to observe and notice their friends when they were depressed, when they were distressed. Without help, they will very naturally think about committing suicide. God, would you make us such friends to people in our lives? When we see that they are distressed, they are depressed, they need Jesus through us. Would you help us to be agents of Jesus Christ, to carry the love of Jesus to those people who are lost and hopeless? Would you also help us when we feel depressed, when we feel that what we are pursuing is shattered, when we feel that we want to give up even our life? Would you remind us again of the love of Jesus Christ and the power of Jesus' resurrection that can help us to give us back the hope, the purpose, the meaning, and the motivation that we need for our life? Would you forgive our sins, our mistakes of pursuing a self-centered life? Help us to shift our focus back to God, because that's the only way that we can be free from even thinking about suicide. Thank you for your love through Jesus' death and resurrection, that not only will we be sure that we'll go to heaven, but we can live a life to God that is hopeful, powerful, fulfilling, motivated, joyful, and God-honoring. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.